Our gospel lesson today comes from the gospel according to St. John in the 21st chapter, as we hear of Jesus appearing to seven of his disciples. We hear these words. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in, because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And there were so many, though the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This week, I was part of a conversation that turned into a little bit of a debate. It was about what kind of skill is more like riding a bicycle. Now, how many of you know how to ride a bicycle? Yep, that's pretty good. And how many of you have done it recently? A number of you. Excellent. Good. And the rest of you who haven't done it recently, but have this life skill, do you think you could if you were asked to ride a bike this afternoon? Maybe, sure, yeah. Some of you are brave enough to say, if it wasn't raining, I'd try the bike ride. All right, good. Well, this conversation about what is more like riding a bicycle, picking up a skill that you might not have used in a while, was between whether riding the bike was more like this proverbial riding a bike, or if driving a manual transmission vehicle was more in that vein. Something that you may have learned years ago, but may not have done recently, but you probably could do again if you needed to. Now, there was one person who was pretty committed that driving a stick shift would be more like riding a bicycle than riding a bicycle, in that it was a skill that could be picked up and honed much quicker. The other person admitted that it had been a long time since either riding a bike or driving in manual transmission car had been attempted by themselves, and so they weren't ready to commit one way or the other. I sort of think that's the place where we find the disciples in the boat on the Sea of Tiberias this morning at the beginning of our gospel lesson. Before they had met Jesus, Simon and many of the other disciples had been fishermen. That's how they made their living. So after Jesus has died and risen and made it clear that things are going to be different now, the disciples go right back to fishing. That's what they knew how to do. And without Jesus, they feel vulnerable. So they go back to what they knew, what they were doing before they met Jesus, fishing. Except that this first time back in the boat with fishing nets doesn't quite go like riding a bicycle usually goes. The fishermen have lost their touch. They fish all night during the best time to fish, when all is quiet and calm on the lake, but they catch no fish. It's like they've forgotten the best spots on the lake to cast their nets, or forgotten what the favored lures and bait of the fish are, or maybe they just aren't holding their mouths the right way for the luck that night. So as the first rays of the sun and dawn begin to fill the sky, the fishermen are feeling quite dejected. They're defeated. They're underwhelmed by their performance that night. And it's just at that moment that Jesus arrives on the shoreline, except the disciples don't recognize Jesus. Well, at least not immediately. So when the stranger on the beach calls out, asking how their night of fishing went, and the fishers yell back that their boat is as empty as their stomachs, the stranger gives some unsolicited advice on how to catch a few fish before they bring the boat the rest of the way in. The disciples figure they have nothing to lose at this point. So they follow the advice. They throw their nets over the right side of their boat, and as they begin to pull them back in, the nets are so full that they're to the point of breaking, and the disciples can't lift the heavy nets into the boat. At this point, somebody in the boat recognizes the stranger on the shore, shouting out, "It's the Lord!" That prompts Peter to jump over the side of the boat with excitement and swim quickly to shore before the boat gets there. Once everybody's back on land, they have a celebratory breakfast together with Jesus. Now, after breakfast, things get a little bit more interesting for the excited Peter. Jesus starts to question him. He begins to ask him the same question three times. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Each time, Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Growing increasingly frustrated and hurt each time that Jesus asks him the same question over and over. And Jesus follows up Peter's answer each time with an instruction to feed or tend his sheep. Now, that's sort of a funny thing to tell a fisherman. Tend my sheep. Fishermen know fish, not sheep. Shepherds know sheep, not fish. So Jesus makes it a little simpler still. He ends by saying, follow me. Follow me is the call and command that Peter and the others in the boat have heard from Jesus before. You see, it's how they began to follow Jesus in the first place, apprenticing with him 3 years as they wandered around the countryside and into the capital city of Jerusalem. So what's different this time when Jesus says, follow me? Well, everything. Everything is different because of the cross and the tomb and the resurrection and soon the ascension. Now, this is only the third time after Jesus has risen that his disciples have seen him. The first two times, you may remember, they were locked away in a room in Jerusalem, too afraid of their lives to go out into the city. And now, by the time they see Jesus a third time, they're back to doing what they were doing before they ever met Jesus. It's almost as if those three years have not made a difference in their lives. So Jesus asks, Peter, do you love me? Peter, what impact have I had on your life? Peter, do you love me? Peter, have you learned anything from me? Peter, have you been paying attention? Did you hear the instructions I gave you when you were locked away in that room to tell everybody not to stay locked up? Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord. You know that I love you, that our life together has made a difference, that I have a story to tell. So Jesus says, tend my sheep and follow me. What Jesus commands to Peter is not unique to Peter's situation alone. You see, we get that same call, follow me. We're given the call and command to follow Jesus even after having known Jesus for a while, as Peter has. We get to know Jesus in the beginning. We start following him, and sometimes it's a bumpy start or it has a steep learning curve. But through the beginning of our journey with Jesus, we build strength and faith as we figure out what it means to follow Jesus. But sometimes along the way, our faith gets challenged. We start to slip away from following Jesus, or sometimes we turn away intentionally. It can happen quick, or it can be a slow and gradual fade that we hardly realize is happening. Following Jesus isn't easy or for the faint of heart. It's hard. It's a struggle at times. But the truth is that Jesus continues to call us over and over again, just like he did for his disciples, leading us back to breakfast on the beach or however else we may find the grace of Jesus. Sometimes, like the disciples, we get distracted. We get too caught up in our own heads that we can't hear the sound of the voice of our Savior. Sometimes we miss Jesus' voice and call because we're too busy or too afraid. Sometimes we ignore Jesus on purpose because we don't trust that Jesus' call is the right one for us. But Jesus doesn't just call once and then give up. Jesus calls us over and over again, updating the call all along our journey as we need it. For the disciples, after the resurrection, the call was about continuing the work that they had begun with Jesus, even when Jesus wouldn't be present with them in body any longer. The instruction to feed and tend Jesus' proverbial sheep is the instruction to care for and tend to God's people, which is everyone, since God created the whole world and all that is therein. Loving God is inextricably tied to loving our neighbors, the others of the flock. And we cannot love God if we are not loving the ones whom God created and instilled with God's very own image. This encounter with Jesus that the disciples have this morning is the sort of encounter that shows that loving and following are the actions we are called to by Jesus. We need to find ways to recognize Jesus' voice and embrace his call to feed and love his people in ways that are particular to each of us. The truth is, there's no greater adventure than following the call of Jesus. To live for Jesus is to follow him. Let us pray. Sending God, who out of your abundant love sent the Son for the world, and who sends the Holy Spirit now to bring us comfort and conviction, send us to give testimony of your abundant love and your abiding presence. Give us courage to be people who have been called to follow and share God's love. Amen.